This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. July 14 is set to mark a new era for the Football Association of Malaysia as a commoner will take the top seat. Current General Secretary Dato' Hamidin Amin won uncontested after former Kelantan FA boss Tan Sri Anwar Musa pulled out from the race to the presidency on June 28. Hamidin, a long-time football administrator, is said to be the best person to lead FAM and could lure several Malaysians abroad to return and be part of his administrative lineup. One of them is Saifuddin Abubakar, a man who comes with 24 years of experience in football, where he once served as FAM Assistant General Secretary before running the Qatar All-Stars League. Currently, he serves the Oman FA as its technical consultant. Saifuddin joins Harish Deo in the studio to discuss what's next for the new FAM president and how this would change the game in Malaysia.
Actually, there is no difference between commoner and royalties or whoever at the helm of or being a president of the Football Association. The most important is the man must be really dedicated with an open mind, okay? And I should also say that the advantage if he has the technical knowledge. So this is the most important. Because when I was working, when Sultan of Pahang, Tengku Sultan of Pahang was there, and Tengku Mahkota was there, people say that he is autocratic and all this. But no, actually he's not. He listens. He listens to the member. He responded to the member. And then he thinks, then only he decides. He never decide of his own. And I remember very, very well because I was brought up by the late Dato' Paul Moni together with Windsor Paul at that time. Early in the morning, he will go through the newspaper and he will check with Dato' Paul first. Mm-hmm. Okay, but Dato', what is the problem here and all that? Then only he responded to the media. I think this is very good, in a very good way. He doesn't say from his own mind or whatever it is. He's talking about facts.
You raised several pertinent points earlier in mm-hmm. what you said. But is Hamidin really the best man for the job? Or it's a situation whereby there's no one else and it's just Dato' Hamidin, given his years of experience in football?
Okay, I know Dato' Hamidin actually from when he was the sports officer of Perwira Habib Bank. All right?
That's a long time ago.
That time I was already in Selangor FA. And he joined as a committee member of the fan club of Selangor. Mm-hmm. He started off from there. Then after that, he was following the fan club actively and all this. He was one of the committees also, in one of the committees in Selangor. Mm-hmm. Then he became the general secretary. Then after that, he went to FAM and all this. So I should say, basically, you know, he has all the experience, mm-hmm. you know, from fan, from administrative-wise, you know. Selangor, FA Selangor, I should say, because I was in FA Selangor from 1991. Mm-hmm. Also, Selangor is not an easy club to take care of politically or anything. Yeah. You know, but if you survive in Selangor, that means you can survive anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, speaking about the art of survival, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You are among the handful of Malaysians who are based abroad. You in Qatar, helping out the league there.
Yes.
And now you serve the Oman FA.
Yes.
What is the difference between the administration in where you've been or where you are right now in the Middle East mm-hmm. and in Malaysia?
Okay, Qatar is a bit unique because of the population in Qatar, right? At the moment now, I think they have about 300,000 population, local Qataris. And if you divide by two between the man and the woman, you know, it is half of it. Mm-hmm. Then you divide by age and all that might be one quarter only, mm-hmm. you know, that is footballers or sportsmen. And Qatar, that's why they go more on this naturalization. Mm-hmm. They have to. They have mm-hmm. no choice. They have no choice. And Qatar also, they are strongly supported. Okay, mm-hmm. supported by the Olympic Committee, mm-hmm. by the Olympic Committee, mm-hmm. strongly supported in terms of administration, in terms of sponsorships and all this. So for them, actually, logistically, they don't have any problem. Mm-hmm. But their problem is only the talent. Mm-hmm. They don't have much talent, local talent. So that's why they have to go for naturalization. And administratively, they can work without any problem because they are fully financed by the Olympic Committee. Even the player salary also are paid by the Olympic Committee. Mm-hmm. And administratively, they know what to do. They are not just, okay, we spend the money just for nothing. But they know. They even have a, they call it a observation committee. Mm-hmm. Okay, this committee, actually, they are assigned to, this committee actually is consisting of ex-player, national players or international players. They are the one who are monitoring the players 24/7. Mm-hmm. In terms that they will also send the reports, you know, to the Qatar Stars League management, saying that this player didn't come for training and all that, because they don't just wait for the club mm-hmm. to send. And they are monitoring them also off the field. Mm-hmm. Okay? If they stay late night and all this, so the report, and they have heavy fines for this.
Okay.
So this is... This
I know
is
Malaysians they, would be heavily fined.
Yeah. this is a good control. For me, this is a good control. You know?
Okay.
They have quite number of people, you know, who follow the players. Not to say that they want to interfere into their personal things, personal matters, but just to make sure, you know, they are ready being a professional players. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about Asia, nobody ready become a professional like Europe and all that, because like Europe and all that, from the young age, they already professional. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to train them, you see. Whereas in Oman, I was in Oman now 6 years already. I was in Qatar for 4 years. In Oman, it's different because Oman, actually, they are a bit amateur. They are totally amateur. For example, even administratively, even the players and all that. First and foremost is, before, they are really governmental based in the sense that the government gave them everything, in the sense that a clubhouse, training fields and all that. But it was not properly managed because, you know, they are amateur, and Oman, one thing, they are following the tribe. Mm-hmm. So that means if the club, A club, is from A tribe, that means nobody else can come and manage the club.
Okay.
So this is Oman. And Oman also, the purchasing power is not that good, in the sense that because they don't have much fund, even though the government are helping them in terms of logistic, in terms of logistic, in the sense that, like what I mentioned just now, the mm-hmm. clubhouse and all mm-hmm. this, but in getting good players, they can. But they have abundant of players, abundant talented players. Mm-hmm. Because Oman is just like Brazil. Mm-hmm. You can see people playing football everywhere, everywhere. Mm-hmm. In the park, you know, beach, mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's why you remember when Claude was there. When Claude was there, when they won the Gulf Cup, yeah? Mm-hmm. Claude found one player playing on the beach. Mm-hmm. And he's not attached to any club. And this player, Claude brought him for the national, for the national team player, and he became the top player. So there is abundance of talent there. So this is the difference between Qatar and Oman. And Qatar, they don't have much talent. So they cannot just rely on the local.
Yeah.
That's why for the preparation of 2022, that's why they have Aspire Academy. Mm. Aspire Academy, and they also have a branch of Aspire Academy in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, so they are grooming the African players, you know, in order to get them to be naturalized.
But how is it different between those two FAs that you were with and you are still with right now mm-hmm. compared to Malaysia?
Okay. Malaysia is one thing, actually, we have everything. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I always say, Malaysia is we just like, for example, if you have a headache, you just go to the pharmacy and get a Panadol and the headache is over, that's it. Mm-hmm. Everybody is happy. You're complacent about everything. Mm-hmm. You know? This is Malaysia. I don't see that we really go in depth or in details, okay, what is the actual problem of Malaysian football? Mm. Do we know what is the actual problem? Some people say players, some people say management, some people say this one, that one, you know? But what is the actual problem? You have to go really deep under. You have to do an operation, you know. Because like, for example, if you are a diabetic patient, for example, everybody will say, oh, diabetic patient, just because you eat too much sugar. Sometimes people don't take so much sugar also, but because of they are obese, you know, and they get diabetic also. So what is the way to solve this problem? Might be you go for bariatric operation, you know, bariatric operation to get yourself slim down, you see. So this, actually, we really, really, really need to go deep into what is the actual problem.
Conversation with you just reminded me of one with Badminton Asia COO Kenny Goh, who also said the same thing about Malaysian badminton. There is no in-depth study or analysis to it. But you see, that's the biggest problem, because nothing has changed, especially at the grassroots, since you left the country 10 years ago. There have been some new programs over the years, but I would say this, that some of them have turned out to be more of short sendiri programs. There's little effort to get all the stakeholders to share one vision. Your thoughts, please.
Yes. I should say that, I don't know. I mean, I think vision, like what you say, vision is very important. Vision, mission. This is very, very important. But you just don't have vision where your vision are not shared with your stakeholder. What you say just now is vision short sendiri. So this, because you don't share. Who are your stakeholder? Your stakeholder in the FA of Malaysia is the states, you know, is the clubs and the states, and also the players. These are your stakeholder. Even we are talking about the parents, even we are talking about the youth also. They are the stakeholders. Everybody that's involved, you know. I should say that because whenever I travel all over the world, you know, I am also a match commissioner, doing match commissioning for competitions and all this since 2004 until now. People keep on asking me, what happened to Malaysian football? What happened to Malaysian football? We have everything. We have good stadium, we have facilities, we have everything. I told them the same problem, the same thing, that you did not go right deeply, you know, what is the actual problem? One, if you go deeply, yes, but what is the follow-up? There must be a timeline, there must be a strategy, you know, in order to get things done. You don't just listen to everybody and say, oh, we must disband this team. You must have a statistic. What is your average age of player that you have in the league now? Whether the league is doing something good, produce good league and good players or not for the national team. So, but now I should say, once they have separated, you know, the league and the national body, this is the time. For me, this is the time that national body should just concentrate on youth development and national team. Because the league is already on track.
Correct.
I should say that. The league is already on track. This is the same thing happened when I was in Qatar, you know. You know, in Qatar, that time the league, we have only 50, 60 people only watching the league. You know. And even in Oman also the same thing. But now, after we have changed the organization, moved into professionalism, the average now is about 2,000. That is considered good. You know, and there they don't have big stadium like here, what we have, 80,000 stadium, 100,000 capacity. There they have only 15,000, 10,000 capacity.
Going back to Hamidin.
Okay.
Yeah. News website 2213.my recently reported that Hamidin has earmarked several Malaysians, including yourself, to be part of this team. And you were quoted as saying that you won't mind serving the nation.
Yes.
Could you kindly elaborate how best can you serve FAM and Malaysian football?
Okay, if they really want my service, why not? Because I think it's time now that I've been away. And then I've seen a lot of things, I gained some good experience also, the good and the bad things also. And I think it's the time also for me to come back and serve the nation.
In what capacity do you see yourself serving?
Well, I should say as a general secretary, definitely, because I cannot be the president anymore.
You should have bertanding.
That's right. If I know the commoner can stand, then no problem. I should have submitted my paper.
But yeah, if you were running for president, and if you were, if you were to be the FAM president, you know, what would you do? What is the first thing you do within your 100 days, since everyone is fixated with the 100 days, you know, objectives?
So, for me, the first thing that I will look into is the national team itself. okay, the national, not national team, but national players. What is the actual problem?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first thing. Because for me, this is considered a disease. Mm. Because everybody is saying, even today also, you can read in Twitter, and everybody says that, you know, Malaysian football sudah berkubur, you know, and all these type of thing.
But sudah lama berkubur, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were saying, you know, sudah berkubur and all that, and they relate to the, I don't want to say politics, you things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the time for you to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're talking about an FAM baru?
Yeah, FAM baru, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, for me, like for example, what the government doing now, the way I look at it, FAM should do the same thing in the sense that they make use of the elderly.
Mm.
We have a lot of elderly experts and coaches and all this, you know, bring them, sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And FAM have a technical director.
Mm-hmm.
The technical director should do a lot of work now.
But Saifuddin, whatever you're saying right now, hasn't it been done in the past? Because we've seen Robert Alberts coming in, preparing a national blueprint for football.
Okay.
This is what, like over 10 years ago? And what has happened since? I've not even heard about the blueprint ever since.
Have you seen the blueprint?
Yes, I have.
You have seen? You have read the blueprint?
Yes, I have.
Honestly speaking,
it's been so long that if you ask me right now, I've forgotten most parts of it because it's been too long. I think it's been more than 10 years.
You see, blueprint, anybody can do blueprint.
Yeah.
Okay? It can be copy and paste or cut and paste, you know, and all that.
But you must admit that there were certain things within the blueprint that were logical that we could have done almost immediately.
Yeah. This is what I said.
Like at the grassroots. Yeah.
You have to go in depth.
Yeah.
What is the actual problem with Malaysian football? Then after that, the next one is you have to go the strategy of how to solve the problem. And you must have timeline. If you don't have this, like what I said just now, you have headache, then you go to the pharmacy and get buy Panadol. After that, you are so okay already. I don't have headache.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
Saifuddin.
All right. Thank you.
That was Harish Deo speaking to Saifuddin Abubakar, Oman FA's technical consultant and also potentially part of the new FAM lineup. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's show. If you'd like to revisit the interview, do head over to our website www.bfm.my to download the podcast, or you can get in touch with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio. Thanks for listening. My name is Darryl Ong, and this has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.